from beautiful Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, on the south side. Joe Rutter, Tim Benz with you at the UPMC Rooney facility as the Steelers are getting set to play the Cincinnati Bengals, hopefully in weather that's better than what we're looking at outside right now. Joe and I were just trying to plan our escape here after we do the podcast, and I don't think we're going to avoid it, Joe. We're going to get wet today.
Yeah, I think that's unavoidable. I at first thought that the clocks had moved up several hours. It looked like it was getting ready to get dark out here. That's how bad it looked.
Well, I don't know what the weather's supposed to be like for Sunday. It's a 4:25 game. It was supposed to be Sunday night. Now, let's start right there. You and I and everybody else who works in the media celebrating this. We are all about the Steelers getting flexed out of primetime. A little bit of an insult, though, I think, not only to the Steelers, but also to the Bengals. You know, I think the game that they put into primetime, the Chiefs and the Chargers, you could kind of look at one for one and one for the other, right? You know, the Chiefs have the national fan base. They got Mahomes. They're the hotter ticket than the Steelers right now. And I don't know, I guess the networks must think they're going to get more bang for their buck by putting the big market but still no national fan base team in the LA Chargers in there instead of the Bengals, who went to the Super Bowl last year. I was a little surprised at this, you know, especially since just had the Chargers on primetime. You know, they didn't light the world on fire. I know they made the move before that and everything, but it's still Steelers-Bengals. The Steelers still have a national fan base. Based on what I saw at Acrisure Stadium against the Saints on Sunday, I didn't see interest waning all that much, especially with Watt coming back. I thought the crowd was good. I thought the crowd was into it. The interest still is there, I think, on a game-to-game basis because people want to see what's going to become of Pickett. I'm a little surprised they flexed this one out this early in the season.
Yeah, I looked at the crowd, and they listed it at 66,000, and the Steelers do count the people that come through. And I was a little I was impressed by that. I didn't expect that many people. When I was going into the game, I thought they weren't going to have that many people there, you know, for a 2-16. But, yeah, they showed up. They were enthusiastic, and the interest seems to still be there. I was surprised because the Bengals-Steelers historically have a pretty good rivalry. Even in primetime, they played a few times. It's been kind of nasty.
And then you look weird games that keep you interested to the end.
Oh, yeah, and then you look what happened in the first game of the season. And
perfect
it was
example.
A matchup. Yeah, and, you know, I would think that would have been a perfect one. But like you, people in the media, and I think the fan base, too, because I don't think the fans really want to be there, you know, on a, maybe a potential cold November night to be there at 8 o'clock at night. So, you know, they moved it up a few hours, which is probably good for them. But, yeah, I was surprised. And, you know, it is kind of a little bit of a slap to the Steelers because historically, you know, they get flexed into games, not out of games.
Maybe if the rest of the league keeps them in the race, as it appears to, that could happen. Maybe we're singing our song too quickly here because the Steelers might find themselves closer to the top of the wild card standings if they can get through games like this. I mean, here we are, Joe. We're coming up on Thanksgiving, and the Steelers haven't won back-to-back games yet.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing to keep in mind. And if they are to make this second half of the season run interesting like they did in 2013 when they went from 2-6 to 6-2, or even like 2019 when they found themselves in the race even though they started off 0-2 and 1-3 without Ben, they're going to have to sneak a few surprises. You know, it can't just be about, all right, we'll beat the NFC South and then, you know, hopefully beat the Browns if Watson isn't that good that fast with Cleveland. Like, they're going to have to surprise the Ravens. They're going to have to surprise the Bengals. They're already 5-point underdogs, at least according to Bet Rivers. That's the opening line that I've seen. That feels about right to me. I mean, I said previously already today, 26-19 Bengals, and what we'll see is the week moves along with injuries and whatnot, but my view is roughly in that 4-7 point range where I still think Cincinnati is better, even if they don't get Ja'Marr Chase back.
Yeah, I see it kind of along that lines, too. I mean, the Steelers shouldn't be favored, and, you know, and they're not. You know, and they haven't proven that they can win back-to-back games. But, yeah, and this is a tough game. You know, the Bengals, they've had a success against until, you know, until they had a run there of, I think, 3 losses in a row until this season. But, yeah, I mean, this is a game that they, you know, theoretically should be able to win, but it's going to be a big challenge for their offense to score points. I think Cincinnati's going to be more capable of scoring points than it did in the opener. And I think it's going to be another test to see what Kenny Pickett can do against a step up in defense. New Orleans had its share of problems coming into this game, and Kenny Pickett didn't light it up, but he did just enough to win. You know, they're going to face a step up in competition, and this is going to be a real test to see how much he is growing on a week-to-week basis.
12 sacks so far. One area where I'd like to see him grow as opposed to the last 2 weeks. 12 sacks, six each in the last 2 weeks. I think he's running himself into some of those.
Yeah, he has, and he's taken a few inopportune times. That one when they were in the red zone last week, I think it was a 10 or 11-yard loss. He maybe could have taken a few more or been charged with a few more. I think he ran and got a yard on one of them. That, you know, a yard back, he would have had a seventh sack, and he threw the ball away some. So, he avoided some sacks, but, yeah, he did put himself in position to be brought down a few other times, and that's something that, you know, with better protection on the offensive line, too, you know, they're going to have to eliminate.
It's strange that we talk about the offensive line allowing those sacks because they weren't all on Pickett. I mean, obviously there's pressure there to get him down to the ground. We talk about that at the same time as we're talking about what was their best run blocking performance in, my gosh, I can't even say how long. Maybe going back to that snow game in Buffalo with Le'Veon Bell in 2016.
Yeah, it was a good performance, and you know Kenny Pickett did have something to do with that. You know, running eight times for 51 yards. Najee Harris looked like he ran with more authority, was less tentative than he had been before. It was just kind of, they got so many people involved, and I think that's how they're going to have to be able to win. I don't think they can rely on just Najee Harris. Jalen Warren, you know, until the end really hadn't done much, but he kind of opened it up, caught some passes as they kind of wore the Saints down. So, yeah, I think they're going to have to try to take that kind of approach. I think they have to ease the burden of Kenny Pickett because I don't think they can expect a rookie to go out there and throw it 40 times and then run it 20, 25 times and win. They have to have more of a balance like they showed Sunday.
Reader coming back, and I think he's going to be a real, it looks like he's coming back anyway. That's the way they were talking in Cincinnati, at least at the time that we're recording this. He's going to be a handful in the run game. Hilton is always good against the run. Looks like he's going to come back. Also in the blitz game, of course, sometimes blitzing against the run. So that's going to be a challenge for the Steelers. You know, they lost Akudie and they lost their best cornerback, in the secondary. I wonder if maybe George Pickens can get loose here and make a real impact for the entirety of a game instead of a spot play here or there.
Yeah, I think this is one that, you know, they're going to have to use him more downfield. Where you saw it with the one big pass to Deontay Johnson, where Pickens, you know, kind of did things with his legs, kind of taking over that Chase Claypool role. I mean, that's really not why he's here. He's here to make those big combat catches, that he has shown he's capable of making and thrives on. And I would like to see them try to get him more involved that way than they have in the past. But they did distribute the ball a little, you know, a lot more to Pat Freiermuth. You know, Deontay Johnson got some more. They mixed in some Steven Sims. They were able to kind of get that going and make you forget about Chase Claypool for one game. Not just a question. I think they need to get Pickens involved more to, you know, keep getting away from that.
I think Tomlin made a good point in talking about how maybe even the occasional passing situation, a down where it feels like they're going to pass, they're leaning into Mixon without Chase. And you saw that for sure against the Panthers when he had over 200 yards. He had five touchdowns. Maybe that's the way for them to go so that they're not just trying to put all the burden on Higgins and Boyd to make up for Chase not being there or trying to turn somebody into a third wide receiver that isn't. Maybe more Mixon is not a bad thing from a Bengals point of view. And he was pretty good against the Steelers last time out. He's always pretty good against the Steelers. He was certainly great in the 41-10 win, whatever that was, last year. The first game, I think he had somewhere in the neighborhood of like 130 or 140 total yards between receiving and rushing. Had the one big play that I can remember. I think containing him is going to be a big key because, as we saw, maybe the best thing that they did in that game against the Saints was keep the defense on the sidelines for 20 minutes. I mean, the defense did a good job helping itself out in that regard, getting turnovers, getting off the field quickly. But if you can rely on your offense to eat up some time and then they don't have to worry about stopping Mixon in that offense, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it was kind of an outlier. I didn't see them really stopping Kamara as much as – the Saints didn't have an opportunity to get Kamara involved as much as maybe they wanted to. And, you know, the offense for the Steelers, keeping him on the sidelines, you know, kind of, you know, played that out that way. And I think that's something they're going to have to do. You know, this offense isn't built, at least not yet, to be able to get on and get quick strikes and put up a a ton of points. So they're going to have to play the way they did against, against New Orleans, controlling that clock. And that's how you keep a Joe Mixon from, getting going and getting, big time rushes, by limiting the amount of times he's out there on the field.
And meanwhile, Cincinnati has to be saying, Watt's coming back for us again after what we saw in week one. I mean, like, here he is. He's missed most of the season, but he gets both of the Bengal games. And he didn't have a huge stat line, Joe, against the Saints, but I thought he was impactful. I thought he was good in the run game. I thought he made some plays and forced some things to where they weren't supposed to go in the Saints' run game. I thought he excelled in that regard. And clearly he makes Highsmith better. I mean, look at Highsmith. He's got 8.5 sacks, and 5 of them have come in the 2 games when Watt is out there.
Yeah, you could definitely see the difference. And, it just sets up perfectly for Alex Highsmith, to dominate on his side there, because they're so conscious about what Watt can bring that, they can't account for both of them. So, Highsmith has stepped up. They played well. I thought they, played well in the middle of the field, too. I like what Rob Spillane brought, to the defense there, led the team in tackles, without Miles Jack. I mean, that's another thing. They get Miles Jack back this week, who Mike Tomlin didn't even mention again in his injury report today. I think that helps him as well, that'll be a key.
Last thing, Mike Tomlin, Argyle print guy. Did you see that coming?
I did not see that coming. He must have had a lunch engagement, because I was expecting...
Once a year, we seem to get him in that, where it's not Steelers garb. It's something out of the back of the closet.
Yeah. He surprised us all a little bit for that one, so it must have been his annual... Yes, I know he has his annual luncheon there that he kind of gets decked out for. Well, as much as he gets decked out for these type of things,
suit last year.
You don't see the suit and tie very often with him.
All right, that'll do it for us. We'll be back next week on the Breakfast of the Bens podcast following the Bengals game, and you can read Joe's work every day at Trib Live and check me out daily, Breakfast with Bens. This is the Breakfast of Bens podcast at Trib Live.